First of all, there is no writing, and every writer knows this. Every wannabe writer knows this. There is no writing without rewriting. So that's just a given.
Welcome to Angle on Writing, a podcast about writing, publishing, and book marketing. Welcome, writers. Today, I'm with an award-winning thriller mystery writer. Welcome, Melody Johnson Howe.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hanging in there pretty good.
Great. Well, you started out as an actress, a pretty famous actress for anybody who's ever seen Coogan's Bluff, for one thing. So, how did you get into writing?
I was acting, I went to workshops and tried to learn how to write. I'd always wanted to be a writer. There's just something inside me. I think those people who want to be writers know what I'm talking about. You just have to get whatever stories you have in you outside. And so I began to learn the craft of writing while I was acting. And after about 10 years of acting, doing commercials, I think I was on a dog food commercial. I can't remember. But I just said, that's it. I'm going to stop all this and I'm just going to become a writer. So I had nothing published. I've never, just was fiddling around trying to learn the craft. And I came home and I said to my husband at the time, I've stopped acting. I'm going to be a writer. And he said, okay, great. That's something you always wanted to do. And so, of course, I sat in my bedroom with my, Otrona or whatever I had at that time, this old computer. And I had no idea what I was going to write about. I mean, I was just sitting there alone. I had no makeup people. I had no grips and crew around me. I mean, it was a lonely moment for me. And I began to write a play called The Lady of the House. And because I could use dialogue, which I knew as an actress, I could use script form, which I knew as an actress. And that, using that helped me, create. And so I wrote this play. Lo and behold, it got done in LA at a small theater and was very well received. It was a battle royale between a mother and a daughter. The one agent told me to take the mother out of the play. I'll never get over that. Don't listen to agents, writers, please. Don't listen to agents. And then the next thing I said, okay, I want to write a book. And my husband, my dear record producer husband, said to me, Melody, you love mysteries. Why don't you just write a mystery? And that was like the light went off. Thank you, Bones. And I wrote my first mystery called The Mother Shadow, which was turned down by everybody. And I called one of the agents back. I got her assistant, and I was in New York at the time. And so I said, just please, just, let me take you out to lunch. And tell me why you liked the book so much but turned it down. Well, we went and had lunch, and she told me, and I said, but I just, so it's not a big book, it's a small book. Why can't that work? Anyway, I talked to her and I talked her back into taking the book, and the book got published, got nominated for an Edgar. There you are.
Wow. Wow.
But it was a long, tough journey of many rejections.
So how did you handle your those rejections? Did you just drink or like so many of us writers do?
Drinking, I recommend drinking.
Oh, good. Me too. Or did you go for a long run or
Never went for a long run. Are you kidding? It hurts my knees. You know what I did? I wallowed around in pain a lot, and then I got myself back up and went back out again. I think having been an actress, you also hear no more than you hear yes. I mean, I've been on interviews as an actress where the producer's on the phone talking to somebody while I'm acting for him. So I mean, these guys are tough and cruel. So you develop a hard skin. And you say, okay, can I swear on here? You just say, F you, and go for it. Don't wallow in the rejections. If you do that, you'll never get ahead. You'll never get out of that morass of nobody loves me feeling. Because nobody does love you, actually, except maybe those closest to you, one hopes. But that's not why you write. You don't write to be loved. You don't write. You write to just be heard, just to be read.
So your acting has helped a lot, it sounds like, in your development as a writer.
It has. It taught me pace as a writer. I mean, been in many TV shows, like acting in them, you could feel the scene just drag down, until the director got a hold of it and got everybody, on the same sort of rhythm. You had, as an actress, you had to say dialogue that just stuck in your throat, like it's in the silver chalice and you're pointing and it's a silver chalice. So you can't just say chalice or, but you have to say the silver chalice. And there's this just a sort of the idiocy of the writing, and you learned how to say it as an actress and make it real. And so, as a writer, I tried to avoid those problems and go. F and I had a quirky vision, I mean, I went to the things I knew, Hollywood, mystery writing, which I loved, and I tried to put these things together. If you try to write, I'm not really writing about myself. People always think, oh, it's an autobiography. It's not. I mean, the one character I use a lot, Diana Poole, who is a middle-aged actress, she's nothing like me. I admire the hell out of her. I wish I could be Diana Poole, but she has my quirky vision of the world. It's tilted slightly. And if you can capture that, that's what makes your writing unique. That's your voice. Not always easy to capture. On The Mother Shadow, my first novel, it took me 9 drafts before I caught Maggie Hill's voice, who was the narrator of the novel. And that happened because I was so fed up with the book at that time. I was taking a shower and I had the radio on. And in the shower, I heard the phrase, virginity is making a comeback on college campuses. And I'm like, whoa. How does virginity make a comeback? I mean, you either have it or you don't, or you're either pregnant or you're not. I mean, some of these things are absolute. And so I thought, whoa, that's Maggie Hill's voice, which of course was my voice, but it takes a long time to connect those two. And then you have to separate them again when you're writing because it's Maggie Hill speaking. I don't know if that makes sense, but it makes sense to me.
Well, it certainly makes sense to me as well. You mentioned Diana Poole that you've used in several books. How did she come to you?
Somebody had asked me to write a short story for an anthology, if I remember correctly. Oh, no. I remember now. My husband and I, Bones Howe, we were at one of these Hollywood musical parties. We were waiting for some rock and roller to arrive, and Bob Dylan was there. There was all these famous mu music people there. And it's tented, of course. We're under these marquees and astroturf and candles. And this guy, I forget his name now, but he was famous at the time, wasn't showing up. And it was getting like, sort of like 11:30, midnight. And my husband's at the table with Bob Dylan. And they're two taciturn men, and they're just kind of sitting there staring at one another. So I go over and I say, honey, let's go. This is just so we get up and we go. And as we're leaving, a limo arrives and the big Hollywood musical star, rock and roller, gets out of the car, and I just see his boot. I don't see any else part of him. And we drive off, and I turn to my husband and I go, another tented evening. And he says, that'd be a great name for a short story. And so out of that, I created Diana Poole. I just, created this middle-aged Hollywood actress who would be placed in these situations and have these observations.
So as you've gone along and you've used her along the way in some short stories and then in a novel, and so how has she developed as a character?
Well, she's become obviously in the short stories, which I love doing, they're like a quick tap dance, a sort of or a quick magician trick. And in the novels, you get to know her better. I mean, you get to know her fears, her anxieties, aging in a field where the young ones are coming up and are always ready to take your place. So you get to see Diana Poole in a deeper way. In a short story, you have to do these brushstrokes. But the brushstrokes better be pertinent because that's what makes them real. I think in, what was it, City of Mirrors, where she first appeared? She says in there, the one thing that people in Hollywood don't know how to do is to pause. Just stop. And that's what Diana Poole was trying to do, just stop to gain who she is back to herself, to know who she is, pause, to not just keep blundering through and I'll be in this, you know, I'll do this, I'll do anything to be in front of the camera. So City of Mirrors is shows that side of her.
So with the you've she's appeared in short stories and also this novel. So what do you prefer writing? Do you prefer the short story or do you prefer novels?
Actually, I prefer short stories. They just fit my quirky vision of things, and I love writing them. I love finishing them. You can do, you know, some short stories take weeks to write, so they're not short in that sense. But I love the form. In fact, I have a new short story coming out in June. It's called, what is it called? Let me see here. It's called, oh, I know, What the World Needs Now, and it's all about Burt Bacharach music. And they wanted me to do a short story on One Less Bell to Answer, and which my husband produced with Marilyn McCoo in the Fifth Dimension way back when. And so I said, I would love to, thank you. And when I sat down to take that song apart and listen to it, first of all, it's like a tiny little novel, that song. You know, One Less Bell to Answer, Why Oh Why Did He Leave Me, One Less Egg to Fry, which is a great image. So I was trying to think what I could do with this song and how I could put Dinah Poole in it. And guess what? Dinah Poole didn't fit. I had to create a new character. And I kept trying to shove her into this, into One Less Bell, into the song. And it just didn't work. And so I created a new character. And this is something as a writer you have to do. You know, if this character doesn't work, sorry, Diana, you have to sit this one out. And you know, and we'll let, I've forgotten my character's name. I think it's Mia. We'll let Mia take over this one. And it freed me up to write something about One Less Bell.
That's great. You know, I too love to listen to the music and take songs and go use those as inspiration.
Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, I mean, and Hal David's lyrics with Burt Bacharach are extraordinary. I mean, you know, lyricists were like toe-tapping poets, you know, they just heard music when they were writing. And I always marvel at that because they, and Burt Bacharach was an extraordinary composer. But music stirs, music opens us up. It really does. I would turn on, do you remember K.D. Lang? God, I haven't heard, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Even Cowgirls Get the Blues soundtrack.
Yes, I would listen to her. You know, I mean, just
No wonder you married a music producer.
who knew? And I
Yeah.
cannot carry a tune. I was humming one day in the dining room, and he opens the door and asks me if anything's wrong. Seriously. I said, no, honey, I'm just humming. He said, oh, okay.
So
He
that
has
short story
perfect.
comes out in June.
Yeah.
Where will it be? In an anthology or a magazine or?
An anthology, Level Best Books. Who's the, oh, the editor is Martin Edwards, a wonderful English editor. He's created many anthologies and his own work. a great guy, and Level Best Books is the publisher. So it'll be out in June.
And so also in June, you're going to be giving a couple of days of a workshop at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference.
That's right. I'll be teaching for 3 days. Looking forward to it. I'll be teaching, that awful thing about rewriting.
With your acting and having to put your voice to somebody else's words, that kind of has helped you a little bit in that in the rewriting kind of world.
First of all, there is no writing, and every writer knows this. Every wannabe writer knows this. There is no writing without rewriting. So that's just a given. It depends on what you do with the rewriting. I like it because it opens up my work. I can truly, for the first time, understand what I was trying to do. Your work speaks to you. It lets you know. So if you rewrite, that's the time your work is saying, this is what you meant, Melody. Is that you didn't say it, but this is what you meant. So you have to go back and say, okay, I didn't say that. We're going to cross big red line there, and then I'm going to put in what I did mean to say because now I understand what I was trying to do. You don't always understand it. I mean, in your first draft.
And that's also where, getting other people's opinions early on probably help as well.
Yes. Now, I'm one of those people who said, be very careful of opinions you get. Really trust people because people don't mean to be cruel. They don't mean to want to put you down, but they don't know. They come tromping in and, oh, well, I didn't like, your character is, no. You need to talk to people who truly understand what you're trying to do and respect what you're trying to do. That's why I think workshops are valuable. I know they were valuable for me when I was a young writer or trying to be. And I know, and they're still valuable. And even then, you pick and choose the criticism that works for you. It doesn't work in one big, fell swoop for everybody.
Well, something that I've asked some other people that I've interviewed is, as a writer, maybe in other things, but particularly as a writer, is there any advice that you would give to your younger self as a writer?
Looking back, I'm not one who looks back that much because I want to keep moving forward. But looking back, I would say patience and dedication. Learn the discipline of writing. I was sporadic when I began, and so I think that hurt my writing. But once I settled down to write, then I became the writer. So unless you learn that discipline, putting your tush in the chair and actually just writing, whatever it is, whatever garbage you think you've just spilled onto the into the computer, that's fine. You're going to fix it. That's a wonderful thing about writing. It's kind of like you're a plumber. I'll fix the leak later, okay? And you do. You do. It's an extraordinary process, but unless you just allow yourself to spew out this whatever you think is your story, and then allow yourself to go back, and I usually take a few days before I go back and begin my revisions, so it all kind of settles, and then I can look at it anew. And I'm always marvel at, whoa, that was pretty good when I first wrote that. And then you have, oh my God, I can't believe I wrote that. And so you deal with that. So I would think learning discipline as a writer, because I had discipline as an actress. I knew how to show up on the set, let a set wait for me, never was late, knew my lines, but you're on your own as a writer. And so you have to have that same, just think about having 60 people waiting for you to show up. And that'll get you to show up
Yes.
to your desk alone in your room.
Yes. Well, I think if I ever create an online store and have like merch and this kind of stuff, I think one of my products is going to be butt glue for writers to stick them in that chair.
Then some sort of solvent that can get you out of the chair.
Yeah.
But it's
And
true. I mean, that's the hardest part, isn't it, for all of us?
yeah.
We walk around with these stories in our heads, and they're great. And then you get to, down on paper and you want to flee your office. You want to get out of that chair as quickly as possible because it's not as good as you thought it was. But of course, it's not. It can't be until you rework it. Allow yourself to experience that moment of utter disbelief. Oh my God, this is crap. And then the next day, no, it's not. This is stuff I can work with.
Wow, that is wonderful advice, and definitely advice I will take to heart myself. So I hope other people do too. And so I thank you very much. And is there anything else you want to say about where people can find you or your books or what's coming next or your workshop or anything?
I have a website. God knows I haven't checked it in a year, so who knows what's happened to that. But I'm around. You can get me on Facebook or Instagram and all that. The books are at Chaucer's and around different, Amazon. I'm there. Anywhere books are sold, I'm there somehow, by
Yeah.
hook or by crook.
Yeah. Well, great. And we need those crooks for our villains, you know?
Wait,
So.
are we quirks? Are we surreptitious about what we do? But
Yeah.
that's another story.
Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you in June.
Hey, same here.